Hallelujah for the name of Jesus. The name and faith in that name. Hallelujah. That's what made the man whole. And remember when they were at the gate? Beautiful. Peter and John walked by. Hallelujah. And he said, oh, he looked at him like, you know, they have something to give. We don't have any gold and silver, but such as we have, give I to you. In the name. Hallelujah. Faith in the name. It's not just about knowing the name, but what that name represents, right? Amen. Woo, glory. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It is something that God has given us. Glory to God. He changed our name, didn't he? Amen. We may have been of our father, the devil, but now we're of our King, the Savior of all mankind, Jesus. Woo, glory in his name. Amen. We were of sin, but now we're no longer. We're of righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I could go home shouting right now. I'd be happy. I'd be filled up. Glory to God. How many know we come to church because we get strength? Amen. Amen. We all, yeah, now you brought your supply, didn't you? Amen. You brought yours. I know Hannah brought hers. She's up here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Worshiping the King. Amen. When we come together corporately, there is a different anointing that can come in. Amen. One can put 1,000, 2, 10,000, and so on and so forth. Dear God, the devil's in trouble tonight. It's not sorry to feel sorry for him. It's not legal, I should say, to feel sorry for him. I'm not sorry. Don't feel sorry for the devil. Let's pray, and I want to get into the Word of God. We're going to continue on here. Father, I thank you for your Word. We thank you for the truth of your Word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the great teacher himself, to come and speak through these lips, Father God, that we would hear your word and truth would be imparted, Lord, and that understanding and wisdom and revelation will come forth, Lord, and that we'll have truth that we can apply to our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Now, last Wednesday we were talking, and we've been talking about submission, but also about authority. And here lately, we've been talking about that we have an enemy, the devil. So, well, why are you talking about him? Because we were looking at some of his names last week. And when you look at his name or some of them, we realized last week, we said we saw what his position is, what his position was, and what it is now, didn't we? Remember, we looked there in Isaiah, the 12th chapter, where it talked about him being the anointed cherub, and that he was cast down to the earth. He lost his place, and there was five I wills in there. He said, I'm going to exalt myself above your name, Lord. I will. He had the I-itis. Anybody ever gotten that or seen that happen? You get the I-itis, all about I, all about himself. And he was cast down, and he's no longer the anointed cherub, but he has been cast down to the earth. And we saw that he was in John 12:31, that he was the prince of this world, this cosmos, this world system. Amen. This realm of dark, in the darkness, the spiritual affects the natural, we said. How many know the spiritual can affect the natural? The enemy works and it affects things in this natural world to some degree. But his power is obviously not what it used to be. It's very, very limited. We see that. He's the prince of the power of the air. Satan is bound somewhere to this lower earthly region. Remember that? Amen. Ephesians 6:10, that we're to be what? Strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We're not afraid of Him, but we need to recognize that He is an enemy. He was an angel. He's now fallen. He's been cast out of heaven. But he was a deceiver, and he deceived what? Two-thirds of the angels and took them with him when he fell. However, God's promises still come to pass when we call unto him. Amen? He is the prince of devils, it says in Matthew 12:24, or the prince of demons. Luke 11:15, we saw that he was the chief of devils. The prince of devils, or the chief, the chief of the demons. This devil that was cast out of heaven, Lucifer, which is no longer his name. He's no longer the anointed cherub. He's no longer great and glorious. And we saw there in, when he was cast down, that what did it say? Isaiah chapter 12, where he was talking about that. It says, hey, they're going to look upon you, Satan, and they're going to mock you. You mean this little twerp, he was the one that deceived the nations? He'll be mocked. He'll be looked upon and scorned, and he will be destroyed ultimately. We know that. His full destruction will take place. See, he's bound to a certain place. He's bound to what? These lower earthly regions. He's stuck in time, just like you and I. He's running out of time. His time is short. The Bible says even he knows that. And I'm sure he continues to try to stir things up. But see, he can't just do things to you. He's got to stir up, you know, people, and they're the ones really that do it. They get deceived into believing the lie of the enemy. Who's God? Where's your God? You know, well, he's here. Hallelujah. I got news for you. And so we saw that he was the prince of the devils and the god of this world system, this age, with limits to his time, which is going to be as soon as this age is over, and it's coming to a close. Amen. And he will eventually be bound forever and thrown into the fiery pit. We know that. So Satan only has authority where he has his deception and there's darkness. He can't have authority over you. You're in the light. Amen. How many were translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light? Amen. I got one. Praise the Lord. We can work on the rest of us. Amen. But that's okay. We know we were. Amen. I know you're just listening. But the Lord is the King of glory. He is the Lord that's going to reign forever. And he has seated us somewhere. We saw at the end of all this, we're not afraid of him. Why? Because Satan has no authority over you and I, because we are in that light. And how many know, because we're the light, he is afraid of us? We talked about before in James 4, right? Where we submit to God. James 4:8, resist the devil. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. But verse 7, resist him. But first we want to submit to God. And we talked about there being safety in a surrendered, submitted life to God. Amen. Hallelujah. There's safety in him. Because God can be trusted. He is our Father. He watches over us. He's not going to just let us be destroyed. But he's given us some things. It's still up to us to exercise that authority. I mean, Satan is what? As a roaring lion. He's looking about. Who could I devour? How does he devour? The Bible says he comes what? Not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. But see, he comes what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's one of his names is Destroyer. And I want to talk a little bit more tonight. We'll look at that real quick, and then we'll go into some other names. But that's what we've said so far. Over here in Revelation chapter 9, 10 and 11. Revelation 9, verse 10 and verse 11. And here's what it says. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek has the name Apollyon. Now that means, and so it says, one woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. So here is the enemy. It says Abaddon in the Hebrew and Apollyon in the Greek, and it simply means destroyer. He's come to try to destroy. So we see in his names what he does, some of his activity. We see his position, and we also see some of his character, how he acts, what he does. And so this destroyer is going to be ultimately, we know, what? Destroyed. He thinks in his mind. He's still thinking some of the same things that we read back in Isaiah 12. I'm going to exalt myself above the throne of God. And if I can't, I'm going to try to destroy all humanity on the earth because they are filling heaven. When we're born again and we get people saved, he doesn't like that. See, he's afraid of you. But he's deceived the church and a lot of the world into believing his lies. But when we understand the truth of God's word and where we are, as we talked at the end of last week, we are what? Seated, Ephesians chapter 2. We've been raised with him. We've been seated with him. And we're going to reign with him. That's where you are spiritually. You are raised with Christ. When he was raised, you were raised. That's why we can say, Jesus, be my Savior and my Lord. And our inward man, our spirit man, is quickened to life. And the life of God moves in, and the power of God, and the strength of God. And it gives us a light and a life that is so powerful. It is the most powerful thing in this universe because it's God Almighty himself invading man. And he came and made his home on the inside of you. And that makes you a son of the living God. A child of the King, a joint heir with Jesus Christ, with all authority and all right. We talked about that in Matthew 28 when he says, I'm leaving, but I'm putting you in charge. I'm leaving my authority. He said, all authority has been given to me, what? In heaven and earth and even under the earth. And that authority belongs to you and I. Hallelujah, because we are one in him. It's his authority. He's the one that backs it up. But we have been given it. And we talked about that before too. Just like that policeman. Right? Does that policeman physically have the power to stop the bus? Or to stop a car? He does not. But he has the God-given authority. Why? Because it was granted to him by the city, by the government of the city. And they stand behind him. And if you keep going when he said stop, then what? They're going to find you and chase you down, and you will probably get a ticket of some kind. Maybe not right that second, but he, you know, writes your tag down and they call you and you didn't stop when you were supposed to. We're writing you a ticket, zama zama dollars, and you must pay. Amen. That's right. Because why? The authority that was set in the city is behind him. And there's rights. I have the authority to say stop. I have the authority to check you out. I have the authority to say, you know, a lot of times we want to brag about all our rights. I know we have rights. We do. Even Paul exercised his rights as a Roman citizen. However, sometimes when, you know, when we come into Jesus Christ, when we come to the Lord, we don't have any rights. We have to surrender ourselves to Him. Why? Because He purchased us. We become His sons and daughters, but we also choose. If we're going to be His disciple, we choose to be His bondslave. We choose to say, Lord, I'm chained to You. We choose. And what is a bondslave? That was the under rowers in the ship, the ones that were chained below to the seat or to the boat, and they would have to row. And they would row according to the beat of the captain, whatever he said, you know, and they kept the beat, and they have to keep that rowing going. They were bound to it. We are bound to the Lord by choice. We choose Him. We received Him. That's what gives us authority in the earth. See, He's in us. His authority was given to us. His power. And it's all of heaven that backs us up when we are what? Submitted to Him. And we listen to the voice of the captain. And we keep His beat. And we keep moving forward. And we don't stop. And we don't quit. And we keep rowing, and we keep going, and we keep praying, and we keep worshiping, and we keep fellowshipping with the King until our lives are consumed with Him, and we look like Jesus, and we shine Him out. Hallelujah to the world. What a joy to know Him. What an honor to represent Him. Amen. We are not of the destroyer. I'm kind of off my message here, but that's all right. How many know sometimes a little side journey gives us glory, gives us some strength? It's really part of it because it's necessary to know. We talked about where we are, who we are, but we're realizing the enemy is under our feet. He's not as powerful as he tries to make us believe. He doesn't have all authority. We have authority in the earth. Now, I'd like us to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. The next name I want to share with us is the name of Satan. One of his names is Tempter, isn't it? Anybody in here ever been tempted? All right, hallelujah. We're going to 1 Thessalonians, if I can find there. Come on, Douglas, let's go. Here we go, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And I want to read verses 4 and 5 here. Now this is, they're writing here to the Thessalonian church. It says, for in fact, we told you before, when we were with you, that we would suffer tribulation, just as it happened, and you know. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you, and our labor might be in vain. So here they had set up the Thessalonian church, and they're writing them a letter, of course, that it was already in progress. And so this letter's written. He said, I sent Timothy. Paul said, I sent Timothy over there to check it out because I was concerned. Why? Because there was a lot of persecution. There's a lot of things going on. And we knew, you know, I had to be sure his heart was for them. He said, I've got to be sure that the tempter has not come to destroy you, and that you have not lost what we have given you when we preach to you, because we don't want our preaching to be in vain. We want it to be where it brings change to your life and you are standing strong like we taught you. Stand against these things. They were under great, most of us, we don't understand fully. I'm not saying I fully understand, but there was great persecution. Those first 300 years of the church, it's a miracle. It's amazing that they kept spreading the gospel, that it kept going more and more. Hallelujah. Though they slay me, yet will I serve him. Amen. Hallelujah. His life, we've got to set our life out there. Our life belongs to God. And we're going to get this gospel out to the world. We're going to be strong in the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. But here Paul is concerned. You see his concern for them. He said, I wanted to send someone. And then it goes on. It says, but now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. Hallelujah. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. Hallelujah. And it says, for what thanks can we render to God for you, for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. In other words, we want to come alongside you at the right time. We're praying. We're seeking God for you. We are comforted because we've been in distress, because we were concerned about your faith, that it was strong. But we've heard that you're seeking God. You're standing strong. And it has brought comfort to us. And we're looking forward to when we can meet again and all of our faith can be strengthened. Hallelujah. Paul would say it over and over. He said many times that we may come to you soon and impart some spiritual gift to make you strong, to keep you strong. So here we have the word tempter. Now we all know what temptation is. And let's look over at Matthew chapter 4. I know it's also in Luke, but I want to look at Matthew tonight. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 4 right now. We may go a little further. It says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now that's important, because he wasn't tempted by God. He was tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter, there it is again, came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hallelujah. But does the tempter give up? Did he just give up? No, he didn't. He tried again. Jesus says, we don't live by bread alone. He's trying to, after 40 days, he might get me. I've been tempted. After 40 days, you know, you might be tempted. Jesus, prove yourself, Jesus. See, the enemy comes as a tempter. Prove yourself. Prove God. Make sure you know he's real. No, Jesus says, his word is enough for me. I will stand upon his word. I will live according to every word of God. I don't have to prove anything. I'm a son. I'm a joint heir with my King, my Savior. I know in whom I believed, and I am persuaded that He is able. Oh, glory to God. I'm telling you, this is good news tonight. Even though there's a tempter, there's victory. Hallelujah. If we didn't have a tempter, what are we going to overcome? He's been here. He's here anyway. We're in between, see? We're in between. We're born again. Our spirit's been changed. But we're still in this body, aren't we? We all have an inward man, and we got that outward man. And it's our job to control that outward man. Because he likes to do things that aren't of God, see? We have those things. If we didn't have a natural soul. See, our soul is what? Our mind, our will, our emotion. That's what the devil comes, and he's been studying mankind for so long. If I say just the right thing to him or to her, I know what's going to happen. They're going off the handle. I just know it. And he'll try his trick, and he sees it, and there you go. You went off the handle. But you've been praying. See, and one day, he comes to try his trick, and it didn't work. Because you said, no, it's written. I know whom I believed. I've gotten free of that. My Father has been showing me who I am. I'm a son. I don't act like that. Praise God. And it didn't work. Because you went down to the root of whatever the problem was, because you've been spending time with the Holy Spirit and with Father, praying in tongues, worshiping God, seeking His face, reading His Word, and you've been getting strong in the Lord, and ha ha ha, Mr. Devil, we got you on that one. And now, see, really, you know, we say, well, I can't seem to change that. Well, good. Now you're getting to the right place. I can't change myself, but I know who can. And I can go to the one who has my number and can help me overcome. I can go to his presence, and I can allow him to bring change into my life. Permanent change. See, all permanent change comes from the inside out, not the outside in. We want to change everything out here. And God's saying, I want you to look. I want to deal with your heart. I want to deal with that root cause. I want to deal with that unforgiveness. I want to deal with that anger that's in there. I want to deal with you. And I want to change those things permanently. The things that abound you in your mind, in your soul. See, we don't realize we can say what we want, but the battle is right here. According to the Bible, it's in our mind. I didn't know he was going to say that, but praise the Lord. It is in our mind, and Jesus is battling right here. The devil's trying to deceive him. Prove you're God. Prove you're who you are. And Jesus took two steps back. Mr. Devil, I appreciate your offer, but I decline. Because I'm not going to live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Amen. Now, oh, he didn't give up on him. He said, well, he got me there. But then the devil took him, what? Into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. Says to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it's written, he shall give his angels charge over you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. But Jesus said to him, it is written again, or also written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now see, here he came. He brought us, he said, I'll bring a scripture this time. That'll get him. Mm-hmm. But how many know the enemy twists the truth? Mm-hmm. He's trying to deceive him. Cast yourself off of this building. And, you know, it says in the Bible, the angels will take care of you. But he said, it also says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. I will not tempt my Father. And sometimes we forget that. See, we want to just, well, I'm going to do this and God will take care of me. But see, we've talked about that. We can't run out. See, sometimes we say, well, why did that happen? And many times down on the inside, maybe we sensed, oh, I shouldn't go there. I shouldn't do that right now. We said, no, I'm going to do it anyway. That's just a fleeting thought. But it was our heart. God was trying to say, wait a minute, slow down. Slow down. Hold on a second. I want you to stay right here. I want you to continue. I don't want you to say that. Oh, boy. That was a good one. Hold your tongue, right? Don't say that to him or her. Amen. It's going to cause trouble. But you said it anyway, right? Anybody ever done that? See, we can't override what God says or tempt him. The law of gravity was still in effect when Jesus was on the earth. Way back there, you know, a few thousand, 2,000 years ago, a little over. But he didn't give up. So he tempted him in the realm of his flesh, but here he's tempting him in his soul. Saying, why don't you just cast yourself off this temple and prove who you are? You know, in other words, fly off. You're Superman. You're the God, you know, who you say you are. You're the Son of the living God, right? Yes, he is. So again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to them, all these things I'll give you if you will fall down and worship me. Now see, he is the God of the world. The Bible says the God of this world system. Amen. Maybe it was, I'll give you all the gold. I'll give you everything you want. Whatever you want. What do you want? Want a new house? Okay. You got it. And a car? Okay. Amen. He comes to tempt us. In other realms, or he's saying, you know, a spiritual realm even. I'll make you somebody. You can rule. I'll make you rich and you'll rule over all these people. Wouldn't that be awesome, huh? I'll put you in this place or that place. And I know some people that have been there. I knew a guy one time, he would talk about it a little bit. Not too much, but before he got saved, he would talk to the enemy. He would talk to the devil. And the devil would bring him gold bars of real gold. He would get real gold. That would begin to come to him different ways. Show him how to go get it. I mean, that's pretty amazing. Yet, you know how he got saved? Because the devil's so weak. I hate him. It's all right. You can't feel sorry for him tonight. You know how he got saved? One little 7-year-old girl remembered his name. Said, Jesus. I'm not going to, you know, save him. And she'd call his name every night. Jesus, save him. And God showed him that after he got saved, God showed him this little girl. She prayed for him. Your prayers are so powerful. They will destroy him. No matter how powerful he thinks he is, his word is more powerful. He said, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Don't sell your soul to the devil. Amen. Well, I wasn't going to sell it to him. I'm just selling it to everything else that he's in. See, he's tempting you. He tempts us. He's the tempter. One thing he does. But let's go over to James real quick. I want to go one more time. I think we're wrapping up here. We've been talking a little while. But we're talking about these names because they show us something. They show us his what? His character, his activity, his position. And we have our position, glory to God, which is seated with Christ far above. Well, let's go to James for a minute, James chapter 1. We may get to a little bit further, we'll see. But right now, James 1, verse 12, says here, blessed is the man who endures temptation. Ooh, there's a good word. Endurance, huh? Anybody ever have to endure a temptation? It was hard on your flesh. You didn't want to hold your tongue, but you did hold your tongue. God's proud of you. God's happy with you. He's pleased. Said, Lord, I didn't tell him off this time, Lord. I'm working. Amen. We endure temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say, here we go, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. See, God doesn't have any evil to tempt you with. He's not the tempter. Satan is the tempter. The devil is the tempter. That's one of his names. And he wants to come and tempt us in different areas of our life, in our flesh, in our mind, and even in our heart, trying to get us to worship him, to lay down our life, to run after the things of this world. But we're smarter than that because we see his tactics here. That's what we're seeing with this name. But here it says, but each one, verse 14, how are we tempted? Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Now that's not talking about the desire of your spiritual man that's been born again, but this fleshly body and this fleshly parts of us that we have, we're still in the earth and it has some desires. It's enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Amen. So the tempter comes, and he doesn't come saying, here I am, I'm the tempter, does he? He doesn't come with pitchforks and a horns on. Why? Because you'd say, oh, that's the devil. I know it. I can see him. No, he's not coming that way. He's coming. It says, do not be deceived. He says he is coming to what? Deceive, just like he did to Jesus. We saw his work. He's trying to deceive him. He said, no, Satan, I'm not going to get into the flesh, my body. I'm not going to give you what you want. I'm not going to do those things with my body. I'm not going to make bread. Maybe it's not making bread, but it's other things that the enemy wants you to do. Oh, well, I'm a spirit-filled, saved Christian. I don't do those things, and that's good. But how many know the enemy comes and he can tempt? Well, I'd never fall to those temptations. No, not when you're with him and you're being faithful. But how many know? You're subject to be tempted just like Jesus was subject. He spent some time in fasting and prayer with his Father. Why? So that he was not destroyed in this flesh. He kept the law perfectly. And even in that, he had to spend time with his Father. 40 days and nights he's there, seeking fellowship with his Father. And he's tempted what? In his mind, in his soul. Anybody ever here been tempted? You know, hey, maybe, you know, I remember one guy saying, you know, I was thinking about driving into the river on my way to church tonight. You know, that thought came by my mind. Now, I know you don't dwell on it, but that's what he wants. He's trying to plant a seed in you somewhere, or telling you, you are this or that, and try and condemn you, and try and make you feel guilty and ashamed, until you come to that point where what? Maybe you should commit suicide. They'll never miss you. You're a bad person anyway. See, he can't just kill you. He's got to deceive us. What with our own lusts and the things that are already within us. That's why we're going to him to destroy those things with the Word of God, with prayer, with meditation in the Bible, right? With praying in other tongues, bringing fasting, even permanent change on the inside of us. So the enemy does not have anything in us that he could destroy us with. Hallelujah. So temptation is a real thing. There is an enemy. We do have that possibility. We do have some desires in the flesh. And if we don't control those desires and we don't keep the body under and we just let it do whatever, how many knows you go far enough, you know, the enemy will oblige you, you know. We think, well, yes, it's good if you don't go as far as you did last time, but we want to destroy the root of those things. We've got to come to the place where it's destroyed and we are no longer bound. We are easily able to keep our flesh at bay, to keep our mind under control, and to keep our heart solely worshiping the King. Amen? Only Him. He is the Savior. He is Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So that's one of the names. That's part of His character. He doesn't care. He didn't care about you. He tried to make you think He does, see? Come, you know, give yourself over to me. I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. Yeah, you just worship me a little bit. No. No and no. All right, let's look at one more. Accuser of the brethren. How many ever heard of that? The accuser of the brethren? Amen. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. Revelation chapter 12. Oh boy, we're getting out into Revelation a couple times tonight. I don't know. Praise the Lord. But we're not going to get lost. Revelation 12:10. It says, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ have come for the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down." Hallelujah. He was cast down. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death." See, there's another surrender if you really look at it. Lord, I'm not going to even love my life. Even if the enemy tries to kill me, even if they kill me, I'm going to be faithful to serve you, Jesus. I'm not going to deny you. I'm going to overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of my testimony, and by surrendering myself to the place of even death if necessary. at least it is necessary, the death to the flesh, to our natural man. But even if they come to the place where they totally kill my natural man, I'm going to be faithful. How about you? Are you going to set your marker out at death? I'm going to take the word of God over my situation, and I'm going to believe God's word, because the enemy wants to destroy you one way or another. It may not look like destruction today. No. He comes, doesn't he? He doesn't come bringing destruction today. No, you feel good today. But once he's got us, amen, the Bible says don't give him a foothold. Why? Because he's going to try to take you out little by little. That's his name, Diablo. Drip by drip, little by little. Penetrate until he gets penetrated in there. And then he comes with the death blow to try to destroy all he can that's around you. And it's not to fear him, because we got that authority. We've been created in God's image. We got the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. We've got surrender to the King. And his authority comes in. Glory to God. Yeah, he may accuse you before God. He may try to tell you you're guilty. But what does the Bible say? Romans 8, chapter 1. Verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We're not going to get involved in Satan's work, amen, of accusing the brethren. Oh boy. Hallelujah. That's his work. There's only one reason when things are exposed. And that's so that God can bring redemption and salvation. Amen? Judgment really belongs to the Lord and not to us. Let's look at Romans 2 real quick. And we're going to look at Romans 2. Verses 1 through 3. What does it say? Therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are, who judge. For in whatever you judge, whenever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? No. Now, if we're doing the same things, we should not stand in a judgment of anyone when we're involved in the same thing. If you're an alcoholic and you're judging the alcoholic, that's not good. No. Because why? We're stuck in the same thing and we're trying to pass a judgment when we're not right before our God. But when we are right before Him, yeah, there's a certain amount of judgment. The Bible says we judge them what? By their fruit. And we see the fruit of God. God said we're to bring fruits worthy of repentance. Amen. But we're not involved in Satan's job of accusing just to be accusers. He comes lying. He comes deceiving. And sometimes people accuse you in the kingdom. Amen. People accuse when they don't really know what they're talking about. And many times they're still bound in certain areas of their life and they're not free. And they don't really understand. Hallelujah. Romans 8, I'm going to read this and we'll start closing down here. I got a couple of scriptures and we'll go down. Romans 8, 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation, as we said, to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, to that inward man, to the new man that's on the inside. You're walking according to your reborn human spirit that's been made alive to God, and you're listening to your heart. Amen. There's no condemnation because you're in Him. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You know, carnal minds, that's the ones that hook up with the devil, see, and become what? The accuser. He's the accuser of us. But we're in Christ, and there's no condemnation for you. Amen. There's really no judgment for you. That's what that word talks about. There's no condemning sentence that can be carried out upon you because you're in Him. He was judged. You're judged in Christ. You're a new creation. Now, you know, you say, well, I've sinned. Yeah, if you sinned, that's why we have 1 John 1:9. Amen. And if you've gone there, He has forgiven you. And if you haven't gone there, you can go there. Amen. All right. And now I want to share one other verse, and we'll close tonight with this one. But Galatians chapter 6, what does it say? Verse number 1. It says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Amen. So when we do see people, and like I said, if something is exposed, it is exposed for the purpose of restoration. God wants us to walk in the Spirit. To be spiritual is to say, let me walk with you, brother. Let me help you to overcome. I want to bring you up to that next level. I want to see you free. I want to see you walking in victory. I want to see you close to the Master, far above. I want to see you using your authority over that. I want to see you totally delivered. I want to see you in freedom, brother. That's what we're here for. We've come that we might, what? Strengthen one another, even as Paul had said, I was so glad to hear of your faith. We're looking forward to coming back that we can perfect your faith together. We can bring strength to you. And that's our job as believers, not to agree with the accuser, but to agree with the restorer. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we have learned a few things tonight of some of the place of the enemy, Lord, some of his activity, what he does, Lord. And Lord, we see, Lord, some of his character that's not so great and wonderful. But we thank you, Father, that we see you and where we are, high and lifted up, far above, seated with you over all his work. And Father, we thank you that when we call upon you and when we submit to you, when we use the blood of the Lamb, Lord, the word of our testimony, and we say, Lord, our life belongs to you. Lord, you protect us. You back us up. You allow your authority to flow through us freely. Oh, we give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.